Welcome to the Good Glow podcast. This season of the Good Glow is brought to you with thanks to Boyne Valley Honey. In some brilliant news, Boyne Valley Honey is the official breakfast partner of Pieta's Darkness into Light 2026, proudly supported by Electric Ireland. Right now, you can pick up special promotional packs in store, and with every bottle sold, 25 cent is donated to Pieta, supporting the incredible life-saving support they provide. More than 40,000 hours of therapy are provided through Pieta's services every year. So make sure to pick up a promotional pack of Boyne Valley Honey in stores. It's a small way to make a big difference. Now, speaking of small ways to make a big difference, over the last few years on the Good Glow, I have spoken to some incredible people whose words have changed people's lives. So this time last year, I released an all-female episode with the likes of Mel Robbins, Dr. Shefali, Gabby Bernstein, and I took the best bits out of my conversations with them and I released it into the world, and I got such incredible feedback from that episode. And people throughout the year have asked me to do another one. Now I wanted to take some male voices and do the same, although I do have an appearance from a very special woman on this podcast. But I wanted to bring some incredible stories to you. We're 19 seasons into the Good Glow now. And sometimes I release a podcast with somebody who is so incredible, and then I move on to the next without even looking back or letting the words sink in or revisiting that podcast. So I wanted to take some stories that changed how I live my life through interviewing these people, through listening to these people, and I wanted to put them all in one place just for you. So we have some incredible voices coming up. We've got Wim Hof, Hal Elrod, Jerry, of course, Brian Penny, and a very powerful woman right at the end. So we're going to start with Hal Elrod, who wrote The Miracle Morning, the greatest book of all time. He studied people all over the world, the most successful people in the world, and came up with their six common habits. And he created a formula that people can do in the morning. It's like affirmations, movement, meditation. And his book has sold millions of copies all over the world. When we got Hal Elrod for The Good Glow, I was so excited, but I was so blown away by his words. I was actually hanging on every word. So here is one of my favorite moments from that podcast with Hal.
We live in a world where we are so influenced by the external. You know, our outer world is so demanding of us. We're giving all of our time to our outer world. But what is it that we actually need to be happy?
I guess if I would answer it in one response, it's you have to take 100% responsibility for your happiness and realize that you already have everything that you need to be the happiest you've ever been. It's called life. And if you're living it, which you are, then you get to choose whether or not things that are difficult ruin your day and your mood and your overall happiness, or whether they don't. And I think that's been the most difficult adversities I've faced in my life. I went through a car accident and cancer and all these things. In those situations where I had every excuse to be miserable was when I actually realized, wait a minute, if I'm going to be in a wheelchair the rest of my life, as the doctors are saying, I might as well be the happiest person anyone's ever seen in a wheelchair, because I'm in a wheelchair either way. So if you're listening to this, I would ask you, what's your wheelchair? What's that circumstance in your life, or that event in your life, or that person in your life that you allow to negatively impact your mental and emotional state, and you blame it on the wheelchair, you blame it on the person, you blame it on the circumstance, versus realizing, wait, yes, that circumstance is part of my reality. Yes, that person is rude to me, but I can choose to be the happiest and most grateful I've ever been while I endure anything in life.
Yeah, so true. And in your book, you put in this quote from Michael Kelly, and it says, you know, we're so busy trying to be happy, but we're so busy trying to be happy that we're not actually doing the things that make us happy. Yeah. So What in life, and I think it's an important thing for maybe people to step outside of themselves and actually connect with when life gets busy. What is it, Hal, that matters most?
What matters most is who you're becoming, who you're being, and who you're becoming, and how you're showing up for others. So those three. Who are you being? Actually, and it's really two. Let's simplify it. So it's who are you becoming? Right? To me, that's what the Miracle Morning is. It's a daily morning ritual that enables you to become the best version of yourself. To every day, dedicate time to your personal development so that you become a better version of who you were when you went to bed the night before, right? So if you're, that's the one thing you can control is who are you becoming every day? And then the whole who are you being and how you're showing up are really the one and the same, right? It's who are you being throughout the day? How are you showing up? Are you showing up in the midst of challenging times with courage and peace and, you know, belief and optimism and hope and joy and love, right? Or are you showing up with fear and anxiety and depression and frustration? And I'm not talking about clinical anxiety or clinical depression. I'm just saying, what's your mindset? How are you approaching each day? And so what I realize is that the Miracle Morning enables me to be the best version of myself in service of others so that I can show up for my kids as the dad they deserve. If I don't do my Miracle Morning and I wake up at the last minute, I'm now reacting to the day, the demands of the day. As you said, I'm reacting to the external. The Miracle Morning enables you to focus on the internal.
So a really huge moment for the Good Glow over the years was speaking to the one and only Wim Hof. Obviously, during COVID, we were all in the sea. We were all embracing cold therapy. And so many of us have continued that, I suppose, as the world went back to normal. But in the height of COVID, I got speaking to Wim Hof, and this was huge for the Good Glow. I was so grateful to him for his time. We had an amazing conversation, but right at the end, as we were hanging up, this thought just came into my head and I was like, Georgie, ask him the question. And so this was the question that I really wanted to ask Wim, and he answered it so beautifully. And I still quote his answer to people, and it's definitely changed my outlook on life. Thank you. Wim, just one last question before you go. It's a question I didn't know if I would be brave enough to ask you, but what do you think about when you lie in bed at night?
I ain't got no fear of dying.
Okay.
I fear not to live. So I make sure that every day there is such a drive going on that I laugh in the face of death. Because I've been meeting death so many times, and nothing is as strong as the laugh and the joy for being here in the moment.
Thank you. That is incredible.
Thank you, Georgie.
Isn't that so powerful? He lies in bed at night and he doesn't think about dying. He only thinks about living. That was huge for me, especially as I kind of moved through my own trauma and kind of suffered with a lot of kind of scary thoughts at night, especially because I found the lump in my breast at night. Sometimes darkness can bring a lot of darkness to me. So Wim Hof saying that to me really changed my outlook. So next up, we've got a story from Jerry, the one and only Jerry Hussey, who told this story on Better Days, my podcast with Jerry. And this was such an aha moment. And I suppose we look at the world and we say, you know, everyone deserves greatness, but do they? This is a great story from Jerry that deserves to be heard far and wide.
But say in your life, there is somebody that you can see has so much potential and is in this comfort zone. Is there any way that you can give that person a kick up the arse, or do you have to come to that realization yourself?
Ultimately, you can challenge, you can question, you know, you can ask, you know, God, you have so much potential. Why would you not? Or have you ever considered? And you can probe and you can ask. Ultimately, the hard work is going to be them. And some people are just happy being comfortable. And we can't be more ambitious. Like, I went into a team once, right? And it was a county team, and they had, you know, just been, you know, beaten in a competition, but they had this huge potential. So I went in, first time to meet them, didn't even get to talk yet. And the manager come in, he's kind of laying out the law. He's saying, this is how we're going to train. We're going to train this. We're going to do this. We're going to lay out this. And it was a heavy, heavy schedule. And he's saying, these are the amount of sessions. And then one player was like, well, how do I find the time for all these sessions? The manager said, I've no idea. And I don't really care. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to win in All Ireland. And if you're interested in that, you'll find a way. And if you don't bother. He said, no one's compelling you to be on this team. And then the team started having this thing. And one of the things he brought up was around alcohol. So they wanted to know about this alcohol ban. Well, what does that mean like? Well, he was kind of saying, look, we have to have little periods. And then the conversation was, well, like, what if I'm at a wedding? Well, if I say, I have my brother's wedding coming up. And I have this. And then you might say, okay, well, if it's a wedding, okay. Now, then the conversation was, if it's a wedding of a family member, if it, right, this where it's going, Georgie. And I'm sitting there, right? And then the next thing was, well, what if it's 21st? I stood up at that point and I'd never met them. I'd never spoke to them. I just was standing there, brought in as their new psychologist. I stood up and said, lads, I'm fucking out of here. You're wasting my time here. I've sat here, we're an hour and a half into the conversation, and the last fucking 20 minutes has been about alcohol. Not about fucking winning. Not about learning. Not about growing. Why are we having this conversation? What are you thinking about? So I said, if anyone can show me why drinking alcohol takes you closer to winning an Ireland, otherwise we're in the wrong place. Walked out the door. That was probably 50 years ago. They've never won an All-Ireland since. And they'll never win an All-Ireland because they're just all wrong, the wrong shite. Wrong conversation completely, where you walk into another team and they're saying, Jerry, can you review our meditation practices? Can you analyze how we analyze our opposition? Can you figure out, is there a tweak we can make to our diet? They're saying, can we buy sleep pods so we sleep better? So like, some people are just waffling. So what I learned from that was, I went in there full of ambition. I went in thinking, these lads deserve to win an All-Ireland. These guys deserve, you know, to get over that pain. They fucking deserve nothing. Nothing. Because they're not interested in it. They're happy being the nearly-rans. They're happy. Actually, we'll give it another whack. And what they were terrified about is doing something different. Wow. So we just kind of keep doing the same thing. So ultimately, you can't be more ambitious for people than they are themselves. So they might have all the potential, but do they even want it?
It's funny that you say that because I heard Joanne McNally, you know, the Irish comedian Joanne McNally, yeah. She set a record in Ireland, sold out like 80 Vicar Streets, has announced a new tour. And yesterday I was talking to somebody who went to see her with a group of 20 people as she practices her new jokes. Now, you would think somebody who could sell out Vicar Street, who has no problem selling tickets, she could so easily become complacent. But she's out there in the small clubs, practicing her new show. Even with Tony Robbins, you see him still to this day bouncing on his little trampoline before he goes out on stage. Like, that's excellence, isn't it?
That's what it takes. An athlete once that was number one in the world, consistently number one in the world. And then eventually they changed their entire technique. And they went through 3 years of losing and just disastrous performance, tweaking and testing. And eventually they came back. And after 3 years of rebuilding their technique, now they started to win again. So finally they're back winning and the commentator says, oh, congratulations, you know, it's great to see you're back. It's great to see, like, where the hell did you go? So that he said, well, I was rebuilding my technique. I was rebuilding this. I had to analyze, I had to rebuild, and it was a really tough 3 years. I changed my system, I changed my, you know. And he might say, but like, why did you do it? He said, because I knew I could be better. He said, but you were world number one. And the athlete said, yes, but I knew I could be better. he wasn't doing it to be world number one. He wasn't doing it to beat other people. He was doing it to see how great he could be. So when your life is built around one question, in this short, beautiful life, if I stop waiting for the perfect time, if I stop waiting for permission, if I didn't care about the outcome and I wasn't worried about what it looked like to other people, what would I do? Then go do that. Because all of these people, every athlete that I see, and I'm back in now with another county team and they're phenomenal, there's no guarantee. They wake up every morning, they look themselves in the mirror, they ask, how do I get better? How do I grow? How do I change? They go to the well every single day. They dig deep every day with no guarantee that it's going to be enough. But ultimately, what they want to find out is, how good am I going to be? So you have to stop looking left, looking right, waiting for permission. There's nobody holding you back. If you want to do it, do it. Or don't do it. That lovely expression, do or don't do. And then if you do it, as Matthew McConaughey says, don't half-arse it. Mm. There is nothing worse than seeing someone half-arse something. Whether it's, if it's a painter or someone doing, I hate to see someone half-arse. Do it and do it right and give it your all. Because here's the thing. Failure is not arriving at the top of the mountain. Failure is sitting in your house when you're too old to even attempt to climb the mountain and wondering what could have been.
Absolutely love that from Jerry. A short break to remind you that Boyne Valley Honey is the official breakfast partner of Pieta's Darkness Into Light 2026, proudly supported by Electric Ireland. If you're in store this week, look out for the promotional packs of Boyne Valley Honey, because 25 cent from each one goes directly to Pieta, who are providing life-saving support all across the country. It's a really easy way to support such an important cause. Boyne Valley Honey's promotional packs are available in stores nationwide. Now over to my friend, Dr. Brian Penny, who told a story on the Go Glow about the first and second darts. Brian's message is all about how change is possible. And when you hear this story, you can see that change really is possible. And I think this is a story that young people should hear too. I hope you enjoy.
But the tool that I do have, that is the most important tool in my locker, and it came from my experiences as well. And it's really self-observation, but there's a way that I sort of talk about it that makes it more palatable to people as well. So it's from Buddhist philosophy as well. So it's like we experience in life, there's first darts and second darts. The first darts are the darts that life throws at us. And if you live in love, you are going to experience first darts. The war over in the Ukraine, COVID-19, lockdown, getting COVID, other people being mean to you, other people saying something about you on social media, whatever that is, political situations. All of these things are things that are outside of our control. And this is the essence of human existence. People will get hurt that you love. People will die potentially at some stage. This is the human experience. These are the first darts. But this is not why we suffer. We suffer because of the second darts. And these are the darts that we throw at ourselves. Anger, anxiety, jealousy, guilt. And there are our reactions to challenging situations. But between the first dart and your second dart, a potential second dart of where all the problems start, there's a space. And Viktor Frankl talks about this a lot, the space between the stimulus and response. And if you can increase that space and sit with yourself, sit with the emotions, the triggering that happens from the first darts, take a pause and sit with that, you will not create those second darts, and you won't be getting angry, jealous, resentful, whatever those things are. And that is the essence of being happier. And when they're the things that bring you down, like, it's not so much the bumps in the road that bring you down, it's your reaction to the bumps that bring you down, that trigger other bumps in the road, that you might have an argument with someone else and you might be guilty because you got angry, and then you're depressed because you got guilty because you got angry over some simple little row that just escalated out of all proportions. And that really for me is the magic wand, to be keeping an eye on your inner world, watch yourself, and it's really crucial. So I have a nice story, George, as well, that really taps into this idea, and it was really my biggest learning of how powerful this can be. So part of my story was, as a child, is that I got deported from Canada as a 5-year-old. We won't go into the depths of that. Obviously my parents were deported. I wasn't deported. I always remember the police on the airplane when we came back. I remember feeling it was my birthday, and I felt very special because the police were on the plane with us, which is an interesting memory. But when I was in 2018, I think it was, I was back going over to Canada again for a big academic retreat or an academic conference, and I was going to be speaking for the first time at a big academic conference. Super excited. Trinity College gave me money to go over to this conference. I saved up money for myself as well. It was over in Montreal, cost a few quid, and it was a lot of work put into this conference. And the morning I was due to fly over with my professor, he was going to be following me over. I went to get on the plane, and I'd never filled out an ETA, it's called, to get into Canada. Didn't even know about it. But the guy said, it's fine, just fill it out there. You'll be able to get on the plane. Usually takes 10 minutes to approve. So I was thinking at the time, God, I hope you don't hold it against a 5-year-old getting deported, but I didn't think they would. So I filled out the ETA, and it came back that I didn't get through. So the guy says, sorry, you can't get on the plane. And I was like, what do you mean I can't get on the plane? He says, that's ridiculous. He says, look, it's not approved. We can't let you on the plane. And I remember about to get really angry at the guy, and I says, look, nothing he can do about it. I says, what's the best solution for this? What can I do? And he says, look, call this number and see what they say. Send them an email, see what they say. It was the Canadian authorities. So I'd missed my plane at this stage, and I went home, sent an email to them. I still had time to get to the conference to get another flight. So I sent the Canadian authorities an email, and I woke up the next morning, and I had two emails. One saying that I could get into Canada, my ETA was approved, and the other one saying I'm an illegal immigrant, you'll never get into Canada. So I says, right, which one am I going to believe? So I says, I'm going to go with this, me ETA approval. I got another flight, a loan of €1,200 off me mum and dad, flew over to Canada, got a new ticket, flew over to Canada. When I arrived in Montreal, I got off the plane, and I was walking through, and they had actually Canadian authorities. This woman came over to me, and she says, look, we have to bring you into a room. I have to have a chat with you. There's a bit of a problem with you coming into the country. So when we were walking to the room, I was saying to the woman, I says, is it to do with me ETA? She says, oh, you know about that. And I says, look, I was deported as a 5-year-old. Didn't think he'd hold that against me. I was having a bit of a laugh with her. And we got into the room, and she says, look, I'm really sorry, but we're going to have to send you back to Ireland. And I was sitting there saying, right, I was annoyed. I could feel it in my body. I was like, oh my God. But I says, right, think of the space, focus on the space, focus inwardly. There's nothing you can do about the situation. And I was nearly smiling at my ability to catch that in full flight. So she actually asked me, she says, can I ask you why you're pretty happy about this? You don't seem too bothered by this at all. And I says, look, I was in addiction for years. I'm over here to do a talk on mindfulness. It's an academic conference. Says I wouldn't really be walking my talk if I was sitting here giving out about everything. So what can I do? It's out of my control. We'll just run with it. So we had another chat for a few minutes, and she just looks at me and she says, you know what, Brian, I'm going to let you in. Don't tell anyone. And she stamped me ticket me into the country. And it was one of the biggest learnings, Georgie, for me. It was like there was a space between the trigger and my response, like anger, giving out what I should have done or what most people would have done in that situation. But that space allowed me to get into Canada and give that talk. It was just a really special moment for me. And just to see that working in action was just great, you know.
Thank you so much to Brian for that. Isn't he just brilliant? Brian actually has his own podcast now, so make sure that you listen to it. It's called Change is Possible, and he really is at the top of his game at the moment. I absolutely love it, so make sure to look out for that. Next up is Olivia Hunt, a true soul sister. This podcast left me lost for words. Olivia is so special, and people still stop me on the street about our episode together. Olivia was knocked over in Dunmore East and came on to the Good Glow to tell her story, and it was so powerful. Here is a little bit from the podcast. It's a message that she wrote for all the soul sisters.
So I don't think I need to ask you what your mantra is, but... No, well, I am, I can, I will, always got me through my recovery. And I loved you sent me that the first day when I got home from hospital, like that journey was so emotional, you know, passing by like the emergency department, like the morgue, honestly, it was just, but when I got home, the first thing I opened was a package from you and it had that jumper, Actually I Can. And I really took that. I was like, well, I'd wear that when I would be doing my physio for months afterwards. Like, and it was just amazing. So that got me through my recovery. I have so many like mantras, like all that is possible for me. I dwell in possibility. But I wrote down a few words to share with people, if that's okay.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Okay, this is for the Soul Sisters. I encourage you to ask yourself today, what will you choose for your future? What path will you walk? If you were truly to love yourself, what would you do? Life is a series of choices, moments that shape the very essence of who we are. Every single day, we are gifted the incredible power to choose. When we face hardships, we have a choice. Choose love and let it be the guiding force in your life. Choose forgiveness, for it frees your heart and soul. Choose joy, because we all need more joy in our lives. Choose to back yourself, even when the path seems unclear. For you are your greatest ally. Choose to rise, even in the face of adversity, because you are stronger than you know. Trust in yourself and your limitless potential, and in the divine timing of your journey. Surrender to the flow of life, knowing that each step is leading you exactly where you are meant to be. Give yourself permission to be free, free from fear, free from doubt. Protect your energy and channel it towards your highest good. Use your time to create the life of your dreams, whatever that looks like for you. Now is the time. Trust that you are worthy of all the greatness life has to offer. Don't just exist. Live fully and unapologetically in the love that you are. You are the only one that stands in your way. It is all up to you. Choose to live a life that when you take your final breath, you look back on it with pride, knowing that you have lived it authentically, with passion and with purpose.
So beautiful. Olivia, thank you so much for everything.
It's been an absolute honour. Thank you, Georgie.
Oh, I hope you enjoyed that. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I am in Lake Garda running the Lake Garda Half Marathon. We have been so excited for this trip and it feels like we're just back from New York. We actually made a little YouTube video of our trip to New York. I'll link that in the show notes if you want to see what goes on behind the scenes, what our trips are really like. You can check that out. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Myself and Jamie will be back on Wednesday with the bonus episode. I hope you have a great week. Thanks for all the support and a big thank you to Boyne Valley Honey. See you on Wednesday.